Welcome everybody to our next call on Buddhas and Butterflies. We're in the freeze context again, and we're working with transforming overwhelm, apathy, guilt, shame, all of the extra emotions, as I often refer to them as. And by extra, I really mean combination emotions. They're combinations of emotions of a wide array of the other five, six emotions: the fear, anger, grief, worry, joy, sadness. And they are different for everybody. So everyone has a little bit of a different mixture in terms of what makes those up. And it can actually change. So, for instance, if we're working with overwhelm in one area, that might have a different emotional configuration than overwhelm in another area of your life. So it can be all sorts of interesting configurations in this way. And as we settle in for today, I'm going to invite you to make your way to a nice, quiet, cozy place, where you can, settle in, get comfy cozy. I'm going to do the same here on my end. Like my chair is really far away. I'm just going to move that a little bit closer. And as we all settle in, make any adjustments, any wiggle woggle, shake shimmies. If you could set yourself up to be 5% more comfortable, what would you rearrange? And as always, if there's anything to mention, feel free to let me know in the chat feature if you haven't already sent me a message about it. I didn't get very many messages for this session, but we've definitely got enough material to work with, don't you worry. And I'm open to more, so feel free to send that on in. And as we begin, I'm going to invite us to begin by means of breathing. Every inhale, an opportunity to call in, to receive, to drink in life. Every exhale, an opportunity to release, to let go. To make space. And every breath, an opportunity to sink a little deeper into that cushion below you. And if any part of that feels pleasant, even neutral, taking time to really savor that, to appreciate that, to drink that in. Thank you. Thank you for calling this medicine in. I'm going to invite you to call a little bit more of it in. I'm going to invite you to either scan outwardly or inwardly and to let your gaze land on anything in particular that feels good or juicy or pleasant, useful, beautiful to be with. As that happens, whatever you land upon, I'm going to invite you to take a moment to notice what it is you like the most about it. And to call that in just a little deeper by means of appreciating it, by savoring it, by enjoying it. And in this small way, it's like a saying yes, it's like saying yes to things that feel good. As you drink that in and savor that and appreciate it, notice what happens with the rest of your body mind. And if any part of that is also pleasant or useful, there's relief in some way, or a lightning or anything like that. I'm gonna invite you to savor that and to appreciate that, to drink that in a little deeper as well. And as you do that, thank you again for calling all of these medicines in, and thank you for doing it so mindfully. And thank you to all that's gone into your capacity to simply be here today in this way to engage in this type of healing work. Thank you to your families, your ancestors, your lineages. And thank you to all of those that have caretaken and stewarded these lands, that have nourished us all, that have nourished those before us, and that will continue to nourish those of us to come. Thank you for the sweetness. We ask that for today, that today's work continue to serve yourselves, along with your families, your ancestors, your lineages, your communities, all the people that you touch in your world. And may this continue to live on in good ways. Om Shanti, 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 peace, peace, peace. And as we start off with, interestingly enough, we're starting off in the 12th house. House of releasing, letting go, surrendering, allowing, and sinking through to the cardiovascular system as a whole, so heart and lungs primarily. And here I tend to see often things like grief and sadness. And that's also the case, but it's actually more so the overwhelm from having dealt with the amount of grief and sadness that you've experienced thus far in your lifetime. As well as that's also the story of the ancestors, the amount of grief and sadness, feeling like it was just so heavy to bear. And it's creating this essence or this consciousness of life is a burden. Life is a burden. So as we begin to unwind the tendrils of grief, sadness, and the habit pattern of overwhelm, it's also looking like we're working with the essence of overwhelm as being like a way that you've managed life or coped with life, like better to be overwhelmed than not have enough stimulation or be bored. Okay. And we're also working with that as being, you know, the guiding influence in many ways in terms of how you've lived life. And it'd be creating, been creating through behind the scenes type of a manifestation process, a lot of excess overwhelm or stress or challenge when it just didn't need to be there. And as we release this idea that life is a burden alongside it, also releasing this idea that life has to continue to be a burden in order for you to know what's familiar, what's useful enough. And maybe it's not all that useful, but it's useful in the fact that you don't have to do anything different or new. It doesn't require you to change, even if that change means that good things are coming. There's this idea that like better not to change, because you know that is also a big ass stressor, and we're already kind of stressed out here. So why are we adding more to our plate and you know looking for something that might actually feel good again? So there's this idea that the pursuit of happiness and joy is too much of an effort. Don't bother. That's going to be, you know, not the right type of overwhelm. That's going to be way too much in addition to already the overwhelm that's here in life. Okay. So that future forecasting and catastrophizing, as I might sum it up as, may also be an interesting habit pattern to look at. And we're actually going to do that. We're going to go into the male side, to dad's side of the family lineage. And we're going back 8 generations. And we're working with that pressure to like need to see 25 steps ahead in order to basically make like a successful hunt. make a successful kill to provide for the family. And so there's this idea that unless you're constantly in the future, you won't be able to provide for the present. And to some degree, that's true, but as always, we can be excessive with these ways of thinking and being, and it can create all sorts of interesting kick-ups within us. And so to work with this, we're actually going to go to the eighth house, house of death, birth, and house of regeneration, also house of interrelationships and other people's money, which I'm going to use loosely as more like abundance, value. It came up on a call yesterday, and it might have come up with us as well. I can't recall that money can be a form of nourishment. So working with it in a very broad sense of nourishment, abundance, self-value, abundance in terms of your internal wealth and prosperity, in multiple ways. And as we work with that, okay, it seems to be undoing. I got a shiver on my whole spine. The idea that their life has to be somehow limited or scarce if we want to stay out of trouble. In essence, if you want to get to heaven, then you have to limit yourself here and now. If you want to experience joy later on, then you need to control what it is you think you should be getting, and what your urges or your desires are here and now. And there is this sort of like slow erosion as that sort of shift in our culture and our world, in modern lifestyles became more and more prevalent. And even though that might not even be in the last couple of generations, it has transpired through this story of this lineage of your paternal realm. And as you work with that slow erosion of capacity to just go after it, to go take action, to make something happen again, is what we're going to be addressing with a seed tree. It's going to continue for the next 8 days, so into our next session together. Okay, so that seed tree is going to continue, or it's going to, pardon me, start with C, circulation of all the healing resources, including blood that carries our passion, nerve or communication, lymph that drains our toxins, gunk, waste, low self-esteem, overthinking, overanalyzing, along with chi or vitality, consciousness or awareness, right down to all the little guys, the electrons, the protons, the solitons, the neutrons, working with the sounds, the colors, the frequencies of all the chakras, major and minor, endorphins, hormones, and endocannabinoids that lower inflammation, lower anxiety, lower depression, help our nervous system, our immune system, for that matter, most of our body minds to heal. Working with the balance of yin and yang, of feminine and masculine, or of nourishment and protection. Then also working with hydration, bringing in water and joy, and releasing any impurities that just don't need to be here anymore. Okay, then G for defrag, much like a computer defrag or a spring clean, taking the clutter. And all that doesn't need to be here gets to be removed. What remains gets to be readily reorganized and utilized for healing. And then, as we work with that, integration, introspection, shift that underlying consciousness. Think of this as the release, the surrender, the letting go. And I was juggling three different storylines in my head, so I might miss the R's. Let me just go back to that in case I did. Reevaluation, recontextualization, reprioritization, getting out of rock and hard place type of thinking, opening up the possibilities where it may have seemed like there was none before. There we go. Then the I's, integration, introspection. And as we work with this seed tree, and it continues for the next 8 days, we also need to run diaphragm to intestines. And our diaphragm being our center for control, emotional processing, the intestines letting go of all the stuff that we just don't need to hang on to anymore. Okay, and as we resolve this particular piece for the masculine realm and how it relates to prosperity, wealth, etc., We're coming back to again, sorry, one more time. There we go. We're coming back to the storyline of life being a burden. And it's coming to a slightly different angle, but this time it's working with this idea that life has to be an uphill battle. Meaning you always have to have like these chronic irritations, these sort of like chronic things that just make us irritable or restless, and we just feel like, just chronically agitated, in essence. Okay, and I think we might have worked with this maybe a couple weeks ago, or I might have just thought it at some point when we were working together. But we're working with this idea that agitation is actually not accomplishment. And some part of you has been thinking, like, as long as I'm irritated or agitated, that means I'm being productive and I'm being like I'm accomplishing something and I have something to show for my day or my time or my efforts. And in a way, it's creating this like internal cycle of validating essentially like things that make you low key anxious because of they're just like chronically always there and won't go away. And it might be more apt to say chronically overwhelmed, and again, like those chronic subtle ways that may not be big, but they're just always there. So I'm going to sum that up again with the belief or the concept that life is an uphill battle. And to begin to sort of unwind some of that, we're heading into the limbic brain, the emotional brain. Okay, we're actually going to go into the thalamus, and we're working with a particular part of it that does influence our emotional capacity to speak, along with to express our like our feelings, our emotions, our it also accesses memory. As we work with articulation, being able to speak from our emotional self, our feelings, our memories, it also lends itself to being able to use all of that to create a vision, to create a sense of how does you see your world, how does you see yourself. And if we're using it to, again, reinforce the idea that life has to be an uphill battle, then it's going to continue to perpetuate just that. So we actually need to unhook this from this particular part of your limbic brain, your emotional brain. It's a part of the thalamus, which is like Grand Central Station. Nothing really gets in or out of your entire brain without going through this guy. Okay, and we actually need to do a couple things here. We're going to do a five element balancing. We're linking earth to wood. Earth is very much about stillness, nourishment. What is about expansion? So, how can this part of our brain support expansion into areas of ways that create nourishment for us, into relationships that offer us nourishment, into activities, behaviors, thoughts that inspire nourishment? And as we begin to connect more deeply to nourishment, we need to connect that particular part of the limbic brain into the left side of the brain stem. And as we work with this particular part of the brain stem, we're working specifically with its capacity to swallow. And particularly the instinct to swallow psychologically connects to wanting to take in there's a couple of different ways to think of this. This is not the end all be all, but the swallowing instinct is also connected to our desire to want to take in more, to want to take in more of life, to want to have more of a certain experience. And obviously, there's this sort of at odds approach with life is an uphill battle. Why would I want more of that? And then also needing to have more, because without more, you don't actually survive and you can't live. So there's been this internal tangle, I'm going to call it, and a really rich entanglement that's just ready to unwind here. And as we release it from the particular part of the brainstem, it's also reorganizing what it means to hunger, to have an appetite for more of life again. And we're simply rewiring that through the brainstem. The brainstem is thought to also correlate to the trunk of Ganesh or Ganesha, the elephant god. And the elephant god primarily relates to the consciousness of being able to both place obstacles to make sure you don't get more of what you don't want and protect you, as well as it also helps to remove the obstacles when they're ready, because you're actually ready to use this particular connection or pathway or thing in a way that's going to serve you better. So Ganesh is actually constantly conspiring in our favor. It just doesn't always look like it when we feel like we're up against certain obstacles. So as we work with this, we're essentially defragging that relationship between that part of our thalamus, our emotional brain, and the brainstem. Oh, okay, cool. And with this, we're defragging the concept of greed or greediness, in particular as it's been held in religious ways of thinking in your family lineages. And we're going back 12 generations on both sides of the family line simultaneously. Kick ass. That's awesome. forgive the my inside voice is coming out a lot today, so that's my internal commentary. We could almost have like a secondary recording going like all the time with my internal commentary. I digress for now though. All right. And as we release this idea of greed, we're also releasing with it this idea that greed must be punished. Like you must be prepared to suffer if you're actually going to have more and get more of what you want. It's going to come at a price that's going to be so fucking high, and you're not going to want it anymore. And as we release this idea of being like basically trapped in this way of not being able to move forward, it's coming off predominantly the left side of the heart brain. So the nervous system, the heart, and the left side is very much about the feminine, about nourishment. So this is not a surprise. And related to this, we also need to now unhook the uphill battle that you've internally created around wanting to get more, but also not wanting any more because of the fear that it might create more suffering or hardship or challenge or pain. And that's created almost like the experience of having like one foot on the gas, wanting to go full bore ahead, and one foot on the brake, going, nah, don't do it. And that it kind of creates a lot of wear and tear. So if you imagine that on an actual vehicle, and I'm not a car person, but my understanding is that's really bad for the motor. We don't do that to our cars, but we do that a lot internally to the motor of our internal being. So as we work with this, we also need to repair the overwhelm that's arisen from having that foot on the brake and foot on the gas pedal at the same time, which I honestly, I'm sure I'm the queen of this, to be quite frank with you. And I'm fairly confident this is where burnout and exhaustion and fatigue stem from. So to work with this, we're unhooking the belief slash concept slash consciousness, I am my own worst enemy. Okay, and then we're working with general consciousness from Body Talk Module 3. We're gonna work with all of it, big four, and we're linking that through to the senses for awareness and then into the heart for individuation. So essentially, we're peeling back this layer of who it is you are not in a fairly profound way. This habit pattern is not who you are. This is just simply a way that you behave to get your needs met. And now it might not actually be doing that anymore because you're no longer little. You're no longer in that environment. And you no longer have to uphold that conditioning if you so choose to. And as we work with this, it's continuing to come off of that again, left side of the heart brain. We also need to then connect your heart back into you. And this is like the part of the heart that's been a little bit shy. And I see it as actually like trapped by the SCM muscles. The sternocleidomastoid muscles, which are in our neck, they help us turn from side to side. They do a lot of things. They help us to orient, to get clear in our position in life, as well as they also help us to flirt with respect, with dignity, but they help us to engage in like wanting to flirt a little with life, with maybe a person, but maybe even like flirting with a new idea, flirting with someone, some sort of a new concept. Maybe there's flirting with a new business idea, project, possibility, flirting with a new philosophy, flirting with a new way of thinking, flirting with a new way of being, flirting with, you get the idea. It helps us to flirt metaphorically as well as actually flirt with other people. Yeah. And maybe it's been a minute since you flirted with life or flirted with a person or flirted in some way, shape, or form. And I wonder what it might be like to re-engage with the sensuality of flirting again. And with this, we're unhooking any beliefs or ideas that say that you're too old for that. And as we unhook the ideas that you're too old for that, you got to take this more seriously now. You're an adult. Which doesn't negate our potential also for joy and fun and pleasure and desires to manifest. We're then coming back to again that masculine nature. Particularly around the sentiment of life is a battle. Burden, and this time we're working with a different facet of it, which is life. Life is a struggle. And we're just actually simply connecting that into the compassion center. It's like, yeah, you're right. Life is a struggle at times. That's very much true. And we're just simply holding that with tenderness, not making it go away, but just simply greeting it and welcoming it to be here, just as it is. The compassion centers hang out just below the collarbones on either side of us. On both sides of the collarbones is what I mean by that. On both collarbones, my goodness, there we go. It's on the bottom side of both collarbones. And as we work with this area, I just hear the words, I receive myself. I receive myself with tenderness, with compassion. And what is it to validate yourself and all those times when it was overwhelming? It was hard. It was scary. And you're still here. You're still here doing it. It was overwhelming, hard, scary, and somehow you're still here. You made it through those times and you did it. And it was hard, and it was scary, and it was overwhelming. And that's okay to notice. It's okay to sit with that and to not avoid it or to coat it with positive thinking or the fear. Sometimes we get into these loops where we think, you know, we're afraid if we sit with that, that we'll create more of it. When ironically, just simply turning towards it and welcoming it to be there as it is often all that it's looking for, is that attention, that validation in a good way. Excuse me. It's all linking now into the 10th house. House of Career Achievement Recognition, as well as House of Outward Self-Expression. And I'm actually seeing this, like this desire to let a layer of inhibitions drop away. What is it to honor that desire for life, that hunger for new things, new experiences, new possibilities, to actually get to come to the surface, to the front, to the way of being able to literally like let that be the lens of life that you're looking through. And here we're also looking at the hunger for, desire for more, for possibilities to manifest, but also like the fear of hanging out in a space of wanting something but not having it. And that feeling like a sense or a place of defeat or a reinforcement of failure, of despair, of hurts, of hopelessness. I want to offer this as a permission statement to all of that energy. And the words are simply, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry for all those times you wanted to create a change and did your best to get there, and then some other part of you held you back out of fear, out of protection, out of its desire to keep you safe. I'm so really sorry. I'm so very sorry. It's so frustrating to do your very best and then to be held back internally. And that might have shown up as seeming external circumstances or people or some sort of a challenge out there. I'm so sorry it's been hard. I'm so sorry it's been a struggle. I'm so sorry it was painful and it hurt. It was scary. I'm so sorry. And as I offer that, at the same time, also offering the permissions that it's safe to be seen in this way, it's safe to be seen and validated in this way. That this level of vulnerability to acknowledge all of that, to see that, to be with that, gets to actually be a good thing this time. Okay. At the same time as all of that, bringing in the planetary energies of the Sun, the Moon, and Venus. Sun for its capacity to bring in our fullest life force potential available again. The Moon for its really rich, deep capacity to honor feminine nourishment in ways the Sun cannot even hope to touch. They do different things in different ways that are so complementary. And then bringing in Venus for grace, for order, for affection. I see Venus as being like in the middle. And like if Venus had wings, like there's the sun and the moon on either side of Venus, bringing in all of this planetary energy to offer comfort, to offer soothing energy. And a way to begin to reparent, begin to renegotiate, to renavigate, and to reimagine that life actually gets to be different, that there gets to be a different possibility here now, that there gets to be a different way of being amongst all of that than ever was present before. And then you don't have to do it like you've done before, and it won't be disloyal. It actually gets to be a new type of loyalty. A loyalty that supersedes all the others, which is that of loyalty to you, and through you, and then loyalty to everybody else around you. As you honor in this way this aspect of you, it gets to ripple effortlessly through as an honoring to others. Okay, I'm going to tap this all out here. Invitation to breathe, to receive. Then we're working with this idea, the concept, the fear that my needs will be misperceived and go unmet. They'll be misperceived and go unmet. And there's a sense of like, no matter what I do to try to like convey them, to explain them, to support people understanding them, that it won't be met, it won't be taken in, it won't be received. And relating to that, there's a sense of like, then why bother? Apathy. I'll just not go to that effort. Which has turned into, why bother taking care of me? Why bother taking care of myself? No one else does. Why should I? And that's mostly coming off of the left. Part of the pec major, clavicular, sternal. So it's a part of the chest muscle that attaches to the sternum, which is very much a wood element muscle, which is very much about expansion. And I just need to look something up. Yeah, it is a liver muscle. I wasn't sure if it was liver or gallbladder. Just wanted to confirm. So this is a liver muscle. So very much also about organizing. And in this case, we're looking at how it is you planned and organized what you thought your romantic connections would look like in life, how your partnerships would look in life. And we're releasing the sense of the places where things didn't get met, the places where you felt like something came up short in some way, or the disappointment in your needs not getting met. And related to that, releasing any learned apathy, releasing any learned apathy. Meaning, like, well, they don't care about that, so I shouldn't either. And this is about reclaiming what's important for you because it's important to you. I feel like there's been, I haven't spoken to it directly, but it feels like in this session, we've come at it from different ways without even using the wording, but it feels like it's been undoing a fair amount of people-pleasing type of energies. And this feels a little bit more strongly, directly pertinent in this particular moment. As you release that, it's also releasing off of the space between thoracic 3 and 4 vertebrae. So near the top of the heart and the back body. And with that, releasing the need to hypervigilantly be on guard for how it is you think other people are perceiving your needs, and then making sure that you need the same things that they think that you should need. Which is a sneaky way of basically saying what you think I need is more important than what I think I need for myself. And that might be playing out not so much, it might be playing out in romantic relationships for you, but it might also be playing out at the level of earlier times in life with mom, dad, caregivers, as well as it may also be playing out in your relationship to that which you perceive as God, universe, spirit. Pick your word for that, to that which is eternal. And what if, as an experiment, just as an experiment, you were actually willing to tell even God, universe, spirit, creator, what it is that was really important to you, what it is you wanted and needed? In a way that wasn't like, but whatever you give me, okay, I'll take it, and I understand that you know best. But what if you were just really diligently, for like a period of time, I don't mean a day or a week or even a month, it might be that long, might be longer. What if you just as an experiment leaned into that? In other words, what does it mean to manifest what it is you want for you? In another way of putting it. And then we're going to actually work by linking this into the solar plexus chakra with this as an energy or as a process or an experiment of personal empowerment. And we're running the permissions here that you have every right to ask for what you want. You have every right to ask for what you want. And with that, we're releasing this idea that that has to be somehow selfish. That you're supposed to instead be fully altruistic or selfless. And this is a particular tricky territory that easily gets spiritually bypassed, and we think we should just go without. We think we shouldn't bother asking for what it is we want. And in that, we actually really lose our way because we dismiss ourselves and we lose it on the opportunity to actually learn through the process of going for what it is we wanted. Imagine telling a little one who's learning how to walk, just like, you know what, we'll just like, wait on that. And you don't really need to do that right now. We'll just, if it happens, it'll happen. We'll just see what happens. And if it's in the cards for you, let's just see what happens. Like we don't do that. We actually go out of our way to help them, to cheer them on, to be like, yes, I see you wanting to go for that thing. Let's do that together. Let me help you. What if you could actually continue to do that for yourself now? In other words, parenting yourself from that particular standpoint. What would that look like? To slow that down and to lean into that for a period of, again, not in days or even weeks or even months, but like as an ongoing habit pattern in life, to be your own champion, to champion your own self, to cheerlead your own self, to flush out all that you desire from in here as a means of learning and growing into your fullest capacity of your self-expression. And we're linking that right back into House 10 with that work that we did earlier around outward self-expression. As we do that, from your entire right side of the body, we're releasing some bioenergetic armoring. It looks like a straitjacket, but it's made out of materials that are disguised as something natural. Like this is natural to limit yourself and to hold yourself back. And as you remove the straitjacket that somehow encompasses the whole body, upper and lower, we're also releasing with it this idea that you have to somehow continue to do this as a way of being natural or healthy. And as we release that, it's coming off of the entire right side of the spine, the erector spinae muscles. It's a little sticky right at the very top where the skull joins the spine, the OA joints, AO joints. With this, we're retracting particularly the projection of it's in God's hands. And although that may be true again to an extent, there's also that other side of the expression, that other side of the coin of the expression of God helps those who help themselves. So, who knew I'd be busting out scripture today? I was raised Orthodox, but it's been a minute. Not terribly religious these days. And as we work with that, to release that from that OA joint, AO joint, lato-occipital joint, where the skull joins the spine, it goes up into the lambdoidal suture, which is basically it divides the occipital bone, the back part of your skull, from the sides of the skull and the part above as well. And this suture, lambdoidal suture, it's a fun name, isn't it? Lambdoidal suture. It's got, in its imagery that I'm seeing, it looks like foothills. It looks like peaks and valleys. For those of us familiar with the part of Canada around like Drumheller, it kind of reminds me of that territory. And it's got like the most beautiful striations and layers to it. And it's like mapping out all the past historical peaks and valleys that you've experienced in terms of and how it relates to the context of you going for what it is you want, taking action. And essentially, it's showing like the imagery and the map of all the ways that you've actually been frozen or held still from being able to do that. Really cool. So I think of this part of the skull as dividing what's your vision from what you're sensing and experiencing and how it is you're hearing and what your languaging is around things. So how is it you are sensing, or how is it you've previously sensed your journey, what's been previous in your languaging around what's historically taken place for you? What's the story that you're hearing that you tell yourself? And transcending that to find a new vision, to find a new way through, to find something that may never have been experienced before by your family lines. And with that, I actually see all the ancestors like literally cheering you on and being like, yes, let's do something different. Let's do something new. So we're linking that through to the entire kidney meridian as a form of resource or support to navigate something very different and very new. Okay, beautiful. And then, as this continues to come off of that entire right side of the entire spine, there's also a little bit of a holding at the right side of the tailbone. And if it could speak, it would say something to this effect. We don't know what's over there, and we might not like it. We don't know what's over there, we might not like it. I'm just gonna let that part of you know that that's true. And here's the thing. If you don't like what's there, you can always come back to what's here, because it's not going anywhere. Nothing here changes until you want it to. So you don't actually have to do anything different. You can try it out as an experiment, see what you think. And if you like it, you can have more of it. And if you don't, then you can come right back here. So not much to lose. Okay, and that part of you is, it's like a little like, oh, okay, fine. It's a bit grudging, but it's actually like, it's considering it, it's pondering it, it's open to it. It's just taking its time to do it in a really mindful way, which is actually quite a good thing. And with that, releasing any particular bits of anger that have been holding it back. And there's experiences of being held back for your own good. Some memories, times, experiences of being held back for your own good. And with that, the belief system of being held back keeps me alive. Which was true when you were, 1 year old and trying to face plant into the fire pit. That's a good thing that somebody held you back. Here's the thing, you're not that anymore. You're not a 1 year old, you're not a 2 year old, you're not even a 3 year old. You're actually an adult now, and you get to do things with other tools, wisdom, and resources that weren't available to you back then. Excuse me. Okay, and with that, we also need to address the portion of the bladder meridian that goes down the right leg. And so it surrounds the right buttock, but it goes down roughly the center of the right leg and the back, and then off to the side at the edge of the foot on the right side. It does so on the left as well, but we're just working with the right portion. And there's this theme here of sort of a bridge between like being held back, but more so a sense of learned helplessness and learned hopelessness. That says, don't bother even thinking about that big dream. Don't even bother thinking about that big plan. Who are you to live into your big wild dreams? And with that, releasing it through the back of the right leg. And on the right edge of the foot, releasing the need to live in the past and coming into the capacity to live in what's actually here and now in reality, what's actually present here and now. And we're literally creating new footing, a new foundation for you to step off of and into. And to support that, I actually see this image of you having in your mind, like the most amazing, wild, such a good way, parenting. Imagine seeing yourself as a little one, deeply protected, deeply fathered, and deeply nourished, deeply mothered, and held in that essence. In other words, what is it to come from a foundation of complete and utter grace? And with that, I see the entire right side of armoring fall off and melt away. I just hear the words. It's safe to move forward. You're invited to move forward, and it's really safe. It's really different this time. And I see the Osho Zen Tarot deck card, and I've used this for decades now. I'm that old, I can say that. inside voice coming out again. I'm seeing the tarot card of trust. And I've looked at this card for, as you know, decades now. And recently I saw it again. I get a card a day, and it showed up not that long ago. And there was just a new, complete awareness of what that card was and the vision for it, the visual of it. And so this is the thing I love with my long-term practices. It's just this, such like a little bookmark of all the ways that I've related to these concepts over my lifetime. And this time I could see how welcoming it was to trust. So essentially there's this picture of somebody ready to like dive forward into basically like a free fall, and to fall into what was welcoming on the other side without a solid game plan, without knowing 25 steps in advance, without having that foresight and having it all figured out, without it being perfectly outlined and safe. What is it to be able to be welcomed into the juiciness of life and to be able to trust a part of you that knows that it's made it through all those hard times, those hard experiences before? And even if, this step that you take ends up going a little sideways, you've recovered, you've made it through, you can do that again, and you've actually got the resources you need to do that with. If you have the resources to even think about taking that step in that direction, you've got the resources to handle whatever's coming with that all. This is a given. Life doesn't have it any other way. It's actually technically not possible. And along the way, it doesn't necessarily mean that you're going to get it, but you might learn a lot along the way, and you might get exactly what you need for the next leg of the next journey. So success is not guaranteed, which is why trust is involved. If success was guaranteed, you wouldn't need trust. It wouldn't offer you the deep richness, the deep joy that it's meant to when we come into connection with it in a good way. Okay, I'm gonna walk off my little soapbox. Usually when I'm up on my soapbox, it means I'm lecturing myself more than anybody else. So take that for what it's worth. And know that with that, we're actually going to link this all the way through to now. Again, your entire masculine lineage going 12 generations back and going into your heart, the masculine side of the heart, the right side of the heart. Oh, it's beautiful. It's ready to let go of a layer of iciness, of frozenness. And I just hear it go like I'm ready to love again. I'm ready to love again. So whatever part of your heart decided that it couldn't be open to love is ready to do just that. And if it feels right, you can even imagine me holding your heart front and back and giving it the opportunity to really feel what it's like to be supported as it moves out of its shell, and it's ready to come forward in a new way that it may never have done before. I'm going to tap this all out here. Invitation to again breathe and receive. As we bring this in for a nice soft landing, we're going to run all 17 reciprocals, working with realigning, reorienting you within yourself. Breathing here, receiving here. loves. Thank you so much for the opportunity to work together in this way with you all. I've got a song. It's called Hum. It's 2 minutes. It's by Ayla Nerio. I invite you to breathe and relax and surrender all that you need, all that you desire from your time here in this session, in these next couple of minutes.
Come inside my heart a little while. Come closer with the honey of your song. Your dance is a code, is a pathway to what's given. I am learning how to listen. Come inside my heart a little while. From you comes the honey of my song. Tender to the tendrils, blooming color, taste and longing for you, who kiss the petals of my reed.
Thank you for calling this in, and thank you for the opportunity to work together with you all in this way. Mwah, mwah, mwah. All my love and my blessings as you make your way through this next, while, and I look forward to getting to breathe with you all. We're doing breath work in a week, and yeah, feel free to let me know how you're getting on with things. I'd love to hear, and yeah, you're most welcome. Hum right back to you. Yeah, you're most welcome. Okay. Have yourselves a beautiful rest of your day, week ahead. Bye for now, y'all. If anyone needs any additional support, as always,